So the president announced that, at least partially, those that are reliant on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, will receive at least partial money for their food while the government shutdown persists. And you're talking about 42 million Americans that rely on SNAP food assistance. And as Caitlin Buss points out in her piece, 12% of the population. But it has brought about this renewed discussion about whether or not these programs should even exist. This reliance on the government to provide some of the basic necessities. Let's bring in Caitlin Buss, the assistant editor of the Detroit News editorial page, to talk about it. Caitlin, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning to you.
So we have at least a little bit of clarity on where now these folks, these millions and millions of people all around the country that rely on SNAP, they know that they're at least going to get some of the money that they need to eat. But where do you make the case that there should be a renewed conversation about government assistance?
Yeah, you know, the more I've thought about this, even since it was published, you know, we've had a long history of wanting to tackle entitlement reform in this country. And I think at whatever point it started, it was going to be painful. So I don't love how this happened, of course. And I don't think not giving people warning that this was coming, you know, was a great way to do it. At the same time, we're highlighting just how many people have come to depend on this program, which is a well-intentioned program started, you know, to give a safety net to those who really need it. And now we have 1 in 8 Americans on it. I think there's good reason. I think people followed the incentive, right? The allotment, the eligibility requirements were lightened during COVID, and a lot more people got put on. And so, you know, this is an unfortunate way to have this come under the spotlight, but I think it's important. I think we have to start looking at paring back our government services, you know, to make sure that it's going to those who really need it and that we don't have distorted incentives, you know, getting people on that program.
Like the healthcare discussion, some of these things were increased during the COVID era, and bringing those back is very difficult. And so some political pundits on, you know, the late night shows are saying that the president is using this, the administration using this shutdown to maybe pare this back.
Certainly there's some gamesmanship going on. And like I keep saying, you know, I don't think this was done well. You know, I think there probably were other options to find that funding and all of that. And, you know, the Michigan Senate has passed a stopgap bill that the House hasn't followed. So people are working on this. But like you said, paring that back from COVID, it even mirrors what's going on with the healthcare debate, which is also kind of keeping the government shut down. So we're dealing with these two issues of how vast our safety nets have grown. And we all know it's unsustainable. We all know we have this mounting debt. So I think this is a good conversation to have. I hope that we have the emergency measures come in place. I certainly don't want anyone to go hungry. But this is the result of government dysfunction. And I think it's time we start, you know, asking that question. I kind of couched it in the fact that Republicans aren't doing too terribly, right, during this. And they're the ones in control of the government. So I just thought maybe people are finally, you know, realizing the extent to which we rely on this and ready to make some change.
Well, and I think we hear a lot from folks like, well, why are there even 42 million Americans on this? Like, we should be talking about how to find ways to get people off government assistance and have them be self-sufficient as opposed to waiting for, you know, this perceived handout by the federal government. And I think that's a worthy conversation to have. It's a much more difficult conversation to have because then you're talking about, well, what do we need to do to get people jobs? What do these companies need to do to make sure that they're employing these people? The well-intentioned aspect of these programs, like you mentioned, you just can't have millions of destitute people all around your country. It's why Social Security was so important. But we're seeing that these programs needed to be tended to over the long term and help people in a way that gets them off of it.
No, I think you're totally right. And you know, as the costs have skyrocketed, and I wanted to point out, I think the peak was really 2022, 2023. I think the costs have started to come down, and they should, because that was kind of the peak from COVID. But you have that, you know, they went up almost double in a matter of 5 years during that time. And now we should see them come down, but you still have, you know, a mentality, a habit that's formed, you know, and the fraud and abuse and problems within the system have gone up over that time as well. Specifically in Michigan, we had a huge increase in fraud, nearly 400% in 1 year in the food stamp program, as this was expanded over the past 5 years. So all of those things need to be addressed, you know, as well.
Yeah, you point out in your piece, it was to the tune of $14 million in fraudulent claims. And this is all from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. That is an increase of 387%. So it's there, of course. But then you have children who, through no fault of their own, you know, need this food to eat. And it's so hard for me to say, not that you're saying this, but like, we got to get these kids fed too. That's that's pro-life, you know?
Yes, no, absolutely. And it's very complicated, and I don't want to oversimplify it. And like I said, you know, there's emergency measures. Certainly you don't want kids in those emergency measures. We've seen the impact of that, you know, too closely in Detroit many times. But I think there has to be something between the emergency and the lifestyle of dependency that we're creating. And I'd love to see, you know, a movement to kind of work people out of that, you know, through a gradual process. So it's not like what's going on right now.
Have you talked to federal lawmakers on what they are hearing from their constituents or something that they want to try to accomplish through this shutdown on this front?
I have not. And I'd love to get in touch with them if they want to talk about it. You know, even at the paper, you know, we took this pretty seriously. And the same day that column ran, you know, we said, hey, step up, you know, people, charities, nonprofits, you know, let's help fill this gap. Because, you know, like we're saying, this isn't about the people so much as the government dysfunction that both caused this problem to begin with and now is exacerbating it with the shutdown. So, you know, like I said, it is complicated, but I think we need to look at the incentives that are being built into this system, which has made it grown so much.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Caitlin Buss, thanks for making us think on a morning like this. Appreciate it.
Yes, well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. But Jamie, you're right. I mean, you do have the kids that take advantage of these programs because, you know, their parents need to, and you don't want to punish the unintended, you know, the people who have nothing to do with this, as opposed to finding out real solutions. It's a complicated situation, certainly.
To her point, the discussion is necessary, but the way this is going on with no, you know, giving people any sort of runway here is not the way to do it.
No, I completely agree. Meanwhile, 7 o'clock hour coming up, we'll get you caught up on some of the big news stories. Also, charges have been filed against two men in Dearborn for this alleged terror plot that was planned on Halloween. We'll talk to Matthew Schneider coming up here on JR Morning. Don't go anywhere.